Isn't this a sports show?
I'm going to get back to the Anthony Schumann butt stuff in a second. What?
Almost entirely.
But I think the last topic will probably be Anthony Schumann because we know he's a nice firm end.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe, the fourth best sports talk radio personality in Kansas City.
And right now, like, I had a notification on my phone that I had successfully uploaded to Google Drive the photo called Schumann butt.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Off to the side in a black shirt that just stands out, kind of all by yourself, is just you taking a picture of Anthony Schumann's butt.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
I wanted to get full coverage. It's something that his singlet did not provide.
On ESPN Kansas City.
No buts about it. It's AFC Championship Week. Welcome into the show. We've got Chiefs things to talk about if you are so inclined to listen to a show that covers those general topics. I can say I was out at Arrowhead earlier today. That's true. I'll be there tomorrow also. Like, Steven Nelson said some stuff about receivers. I thought that was kind of fun. It was out there. Everybody, so many people talked. Somebody did ask Patrick Mahomes about his dog, his new puppy, which is the only thing I care about for the rest of my life.
What's his name?
I can't remember. Whenever I said that there
you
was...
You really care then, don't you?
Whenever I said, though, that Patrick Mahomes got a puppy, Beards asked if its name was Scout, and also if Beards got a new girl... Excuse me, and if Patrick Mahomes got a new girlfriend, and if she looked anything like Renee, girlfriend Renee. It's because...
Mahomes' girlfriend Renee.
I mean, I couldn't be mad, right? Like, I get it. But no, independent of my life, Patrick Mahomes has a dog. He answered a question about a dog today. Everything else, like Andy Reid talked for the second day in a row, so he had nothing to say. Nothing new on Eric Berry. It's just, you know, just all of that. Except, what's that? Oh, man, that's Bob Sutton's music. We are starting today's show with Bob Sutton audio. Stick with me here. This is a five-part drama. Four-part drama. Beards just looked at the number of files open and went five, four. There is a four-part drama that will unfold in front of you this segment of radio. Really lean in. Really listen close. So Bob Sutton was asked about Tom Brady, stopping Tom Brady, all of that. Stopping Tom Brady, a difficult job. Bob Sutton discussed it. He has a pretty good answer here. Yes, we're building on with this segment, with this set of opening statements from Bob Sutton. Is we're going to build on top of this. But first, I need to give you this base layer. Listen close, but also enjoy the full scope of what he's saying. Here's Bob Sutton talking about how you try to stop Tom Brady.
Well, I think when you play a quarterback like Tom, I mean, that's... I mean, he's played so many games. I don't think you really ever are going to, trick him in the sense like you're going to completely fool him. You know, you might get lucky once in a while, but I don't think you can go in planning on that. I think what you try to do is you try to, like we always say, you know, try like Dickens, not to give him the answers to the test before the ball snapped. You know, and that's, you know, you try. But, I mean, this guy, I mean, you know, like I said, he's seen every defense. You know, like he has the answers to the test. He knows what the coverages are, and he understands that. And, you know, he can process, I think, so fast. That makes him, an extremely difficult guy to defend. He's getting the ball out of his hands at, like, mock speed right now. I mean, you know, so he understands it, and I think it comes down to you have to execute at a really high level, and you have to be able to sustain that an entire game, you know, which is really challenging against a guy like him. You know, he knows that, you know, he's been in the same exact system his entire NFL career. He's had different OCs there, but the system's never changed. You know, and it's really now his system, you know. So, I mean, that's a great I don't know too many people that have ever done that, you know, to play that many years and be in the exact same system. So, you know, he has a lot of things going for him. He's, you know, he's a great competitor, got great talent, arm talent and that. So it's just it takes a lot. It's a team. It's going to take a team effort defensively to slow him down.
So a few things in there. Again, stick with me. You're getting quite a bit of Bob Sutton. I know it's not the most high-octane start to a radio show. Stick with me. But in there, you, first of all, you hear that you're always trying to keep from giving him the answer to the test before the snap. I thought that was interesting. You're going to try to make Brady act and react during the play itself, which is smart. That's, I mean, it's also pretty obvious, but it's a good thing to hear Sutton, like, explain specifically. I'm good with that. But something else in there that wasn't that logic that we might dive into more later, maybe we won't, but something else in there really struck a chord with me. I had a very strong memory of something that Bob Sutton said in October before the Chiefs played the Patriots during the regular season.
The thing you appreciate about Brady is, I mean, is one is we always talk about his preparation and the ability to execute out there because of that. But you know, he's in such great command, and you know, I don't know how many quarterbacks have ever been in the exact same system for 19 years. I mean, that just doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen you play 19 years and then to have the exact same system. I mean, he's never changed the system he's been in. And that's an incredible thing. And you know, it's really his system now. I mean, you know, it was Charlie Weiss and right on down the line, you know, Bill O'Brien, you know, Josh has been there and came back, you know, so, but the system, so he knows that system just, I mean, remarkably well and can manipulate it to whatever he wants.
Okay. Now we're going to go to a quick little snippet of something Bob Sutton said today. About halfway through, you'll hear the audio change a little. Then you'll know that it was something he was saying back in October. Listen to this.
You know, he has a system quarterback.
That's not the audio I wanted yet, Beard. You blew the punchline. We went over this before the show.
I was pretty sure that was the third one you said to play.
Nope, it was the fourth one. There was Sutton from today, and there was Sutton from October, and then it was the 40-second mashup, and then it was the 1 second one.
Okay, anyway.
Anyway, what?
I don't know how many
anyway, what?
Have ever been in the exact same system for 19 years.
You said this today.
I mean, that just doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen that you play 19 years, and then
this
have
isn't
the exact
from today.
Same
this
system. I mean, he's never changed the system he's been in, and that's an incredible thing. And
this
you know,
is October.
He knows that, you know, he's been in the same exact system his entire NFL career. He's had different OCs there, but the system's never changed, you know, and it's really now his system, you know. So, I mean, that's a great – I don't know too many people that have ever done that, you know, to play that many years and be in the exact same system.
Now, what I wanted to do really took the wind out of my sails, Beards. Really, like, I was we just spent 10 minutes building to this payoff, and I did not even get to set it up how I wanted to.
You know, he has a system.
No, I wasn't. I want to set it up, Beards. Let me set it up. This part is not a bit. I'm angry at Beards. I can't even look at him. I'm watching around the horn because it's above Beards. I mean, they don't have to look directly at him. You heard in that 40-second clip some stuff from today and some stuff from October. What I was going to say is if you bring together a couple other clips these last two times that Bob Sutton has talked about Tom Brady, you will hear what he's really trying to say.
You know, he has a system. Quarterback.
One more time.
You know, he has a system. Quarterback.
Third time.
You know, he has a system. Quarterback.
Those are Bob Sutton's words, not mine. I'm not saying that,
you know, his system quarterback.
Bob Sutton said that. Originally in many, many more words, I just did you the favor of sort of parsing it down. I think you know how Bob Sutton feels about Tom Brady.
His system, quarterback.
Stunning, right? That is a stunning realization that Bob Sutton, NFL defensive coordinator, thinks
his system, quarterback.
Undoctored audio. Just pulled the pieces together. Just that's just what Bob Sutton said about Tom Brady. Not
his
just
system, quarterback.
Beards, I swear to God. Not just today, but also all the way back in October. It was weird in the audio that I couldn't even listen to because I was so angry. How similar the two like previews of Brady were. He's saying the same things, but I think at this point now, he's been putting it on our shoulders to say, hey, read between the lines. Read what I really believe regarding Tom Brady. I praise him for being able to stay in the same system for 19 years. I need you to hear that truly I believe
his system, quarterback.
And who could argue with him? What, Beards? You leaned up to go ahead.
No, I didn't.
You leaned up.
No. You're imagining things there.
That's true, actually. I was staring off into space, wistfully imagining a well-produced first segment.
His system, quarterback.
I mean, today's segment, first segment, definitely did have a higher production value than most. I thought you'd be here for me. I thought you'd be able to pull it off. I think you're a system producer.
Way to step on my joke. I was just about to do that.
Sorry, I said
he
it quicker.
He is a system
producer.
Now you know how it feels. So if I just made the joke more quickly.
Mine was better.
Would you like to do it again?
He is a system quarterback.
You bleeped it up.
I know.
You're a system producer in the same way that Blake Bortles is a system quarterback. I really thought we'd get more mileage out of this segment, but all of the wind left my sails, all of the blood left my body, all of the spirit left my soul. Anyway, Bob Sutton thinks Eric Berry is a system. Eric Berry, what? Bob Sutton thinks that Tom Brady is a system quarterback. I guess we can now go to Steven Nelson. I wasn't going to go to that right away, but I think you've got the bit. The other thing that I found interesting today, again, Mahomes talked, Reed talked, Tobe and Bieniemy talked, Colquitt talked, Mitch Schwartz and Eric Fisher both talked. I think that was the full list. Vaguely interesting things from all of them. But I'm especially interested, and Nelson's had a couple things, actually, but the one that I want to play right now is him talking about the Patriots receivers, because I think it gives us a little more insight into the thing we've been talking about a lot this week, which is how does this defense stop a Patriots offense that has Tom Brady at the middle of it? And obviously, I don't think anyone believes that the Chiefs can just like match up with Brady in that offense. You know, you look at nothing really works that simply in the NFL anymore. It's schematic and it's making them play to your advantages instead of letting them play to their advantages. And for the Chiefs and Patriots, their advantages and disadvantages match up inversely pretty well. So we could see a real abuse of a few certain things, probably from the Chiefs, levied out against the Patriots. So that's encouraging. But we talked about this the last couple of days. If you're the Patriots receivers right now, you look across from you. The thing you don't want to see is a secondary that's extremely willing to lock up with you and knock your rhythm off. And if you're Tom Brady, that's not what you want to see defensively. But the Chiefs are, with their personnel, extremely nicely equipped to be able to handle something like that. That's kind of, that's a reasonable expectation, I would argue. That's a reasonable thing to think the Chiefs could pull off. And Steven Nelson, I would say here in this clip, he didn't talk about that specifically, but listen to the way that he describes the Patriots receivers. I think it plays into that argument.
They're physical. They're not super fast guys. Not super athletic. But they don't make a lot of mistakes. You know, and if you give them any type of room, you know, they can hurt you. And of course, they have Tom Brady, so that's going to help a ton.
And so, you hear him say they're physical, so they're going to be able to deal with the bump and run stuff a little bit. But they're not super fast. They're not super athletic. If you make a mistake, they will capitalize on it. But if you want to figure out how you as a defense are going to knock them off their rhythm, that's how. By literally knocking them off their rhythm. And I think that's something that the Chiefs very, very reasonably can offer to this Patriots offense. And they need to. They're not going to beat you over the top. They will run the ball as much as possible. If you're the defense, though, you've got to just hope the offense gives you a little bit of a lead at some point. Take away some of that run game if you can, and as crazy as it sounds about Tom Brady, make him throw some. Just make him throw a little bit. Ideally, make him go downfield because all the short stuff has been clogged up by a physical defense that's not afraid to get physical with physical receivers. That feels like a totally safe way to go. I feel like the smart way to go. And back to something that Sutton said in that first clip that wasn't about Tom Brady being a system quarterback, which he is, and Bob Sutton has told you as much. In his own words, verbatim. The thing you can't do is make the game easier for Tom Brady. You can't make it easier than it already is for him, or you're in enormous trouble. But if you can simply knock their rhythm off and give Brady enough different looks before the snap and then drop into something that surprises him, you are good. You will be in totally reasonable shape as a defense going up against Tom Brady. That's hard to do because he's seen enough stuff now at this point in his career. He's expecting surprises at the line. He's looking for deception. And being really exceptionally like on point in your pre-snap deception is difficult, but it's important for the Chiefs. They have to bring a sort of pre-snap chaos that makes Tom Brady just stand back there guessing. If you make him guess, I think you're going to end up in pretty good shape. If you make him guess even a little bit, I think the Chiefs are going to win this game, period. So some of that stuff I think they will do. But the thing to do is to rattle these receivers. Don't, in Bob Sutton's words, give Tom Brady the answer to the test before the snap. And also acknowledge that he's a system quarterback. right, here's what we're going to do, Beards. I'm telling you this right now because I'm deciding it right now, splicing everything up, getting all of our information, all of our ducks in a row. Whenever we come back, we're going to play you my conversation with Matt Derrick from last night on Sports Night. Then at 5 o'clock, Grant Tuttle of Arrowhead Addict is going to be on with us live to preview Chiefs Patriots. That time's out, right?
Should be fine.
Thank you, Blake Bortles.
Clinton says a good sentence is a system sandwich shop.
Okay, but like why though?
I mean, I think Good Sense is better than that. That's more like Subway.
I think that's the right call. I am definitely done. Beards, write this down. Here's what I need, Beards. We need to start building an emergency segment folder or file or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Sandwich shop rankings. Add that to the list.
Ooh, okay.
Next time we need to go to an emergency topic, you can just say that and we're going to break that down. But right now, we got two shows before the AFC Championship game. So we're going to talk to Matt Derrick when we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Did you know that today was Talk Like a Pirate Day, and what is your best pirate phrase?
I did know that it was, and I really don't have a good pirate phrase.
Well, you're on the spot right now. I'm going to need one.
That's it right there. That was it.
There she blows.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
He sounded like a lawnmower starting. So strange. That was the voice, though, of Matt Derrick. We had a chance to talk to him last night on Sports Night, and because I'm in 1,000 places at once at the time, I want you to hear from Matt Derrick once again. He was excellent last night, although don't tell him that. Tell him he was terrible. He texted me afterward. He was like, sorry, I feel like I was rambling. And I said, yeah, no, that's honestly, it's the worst. We're never going to have you on ever again. So don't tell him that he's on, we're replaying it here now, because we wouldn't do that if it was actually bad. We need him to continue. We got to keep low self-esteem on Matt, because eventually he's going to launch to a level beyond us, and we're never going to hear from him again. He's going to go, like, what's bigger than ESPN? Because we can get Teicher. I've talked to Adam Teicher a few times, saw him today. He's going to actually be Disney. He's going to be the Disney Chiefs reporter. Not ESPN in Disney. He is going to be on the Disney Channel doing Chiefs reporting. That's my bold prediction. But he was on Sports Night with us last night. A couple things I want to give you the update on ahead of time. Like, breaking now, Matt just tweeted that everybody was a full participant in practice today other than Dorian O'Daniel, who did not practice. But Eric Berry, LDT, and Spencer Ware were all full participants in practice. That's huge news. Part of our conversation here eventually gets to me asking about the participation levels of Eric Berry, and you'll hear him say at some point in here that it really depends on if he's going to also be practicing what is now today, because again, I talked to him last night. Now you know that he is practicing today, so I imagine you can go ahead and click Matt's optimism levels up a notch. In fact, I believe he in here uses the words mortal lock. So here is Matt Derrick. We started off last night with me asking him, with all of the craziness that happened with Eric Berry throughout the year, him not playing against the Colts, which was really bizarre, if he was ready to buy into any number of crazy conspiracy theories regarding Eric Berry and the Chiefs.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories on the board. I'm at this point, I'm almost done with even trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm just willing to wait until the off season when somebody tells me what was actually happening, if that ever happens. Because this has just been the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. I mean, I don't know what's happening other than, hey, it's been a day-to-day situation for 4 or 5 months now.
Right.
So we're just at the latest day of the day-to-day.
So help me, like, just let's try to find, I guess, like, the divergence points, because the place where conspiracy theories would start, I believe, and correct me if you disagree with the logic of this, but I think the place where you start bringing in a conspiracy theory would be a place where the Chiefs and Eric Berry would have different interests or different plans or different desires or any of that. Like, that's where you start going, what happens there? For me, I was just sort of beating away all of the conspiracy theories all the way up until he didn't play against the Colts, because it seems really obvious that the Chiefs would have liked him to play against the Colts, even if it meant, you know, holding him out against the Raiders to try to get him ready for the playoffs. Does that feel like kind of a a noteworthy moment? Or I guess, does that feel like the most noteworthy moment as we try to just like get a chance to wrap our head around what's happening?
It's a noteworthy moment. I mean, there's been a few of those throughout this entire run. But the complicated answer, of course, is just that a lot of this doesn't make any sense, just the way that the things unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, bottom line is it's normally the most boring possible outcome is what was actually probably what was going on behind the scenes.
Right.
And the answer to that is just simple. It's just that, hey, he's got a heel problem. It's a chronic condition. The medical people didn't think that it was going to be anything that was going to hurt him. It was just going to hurt, and didn't think that it was necessarily going to keep him out for the season. But hey, it did. Mm-hmm. It just didn't come out the way that they wanted it, thought that it would. And it's still progressing that way. And it's just a situation of, you know, how much that, you know, pain and discomfort does he have to endure each week? And whether there was necessarily a setback last week, with what we are led to believe that he has and the condition that he has, setback is probably not the right word. It's not like the injury necessarily gets worse. The pain might get worse. But, you know, was there just a determination, you know, that was made last week to say, hey, you know what? If we're only going to have Eric Berry for one or two games of the postseason, we'd rather have him for the last two games than the first two games. Maybe that's the case. There's so many different philosophies and conspiracies that you could come up with this. I mean, there really are.
So you said you did immediately follow up with whenever someone tells us this offseason if that happens. But, like, do you think that we're going to get, like, that once the season's all said and done, if it ends in a Super Bowl trophy or just a Lamar Hunt trophy or if it ends on Sunday, do you think we're going to get a pretty good guess at some point as to everything that's happening behind the scenes?
I imagine we'll probably get a pretty good guess at some point. I mean, the only thing I would say is that we might not end up with a little bit of the he said,
mm-hmm.
because Eric Berry typically, you know, doesn't talk a lot about these things,
mm-hmm.
and his camp and his family, his friends. I mean, they don't normally talk a lot. So I could see it never, you know, coming out. Could the team point of view come out at some point? Yeah, I think we'll probably hear a little bit about that at some point. Maybe that doesn't happen if they win a Super Bowl and everybody's bygones be bygones. But you mentioned it a moment ago, and I think it is an important point, is that, you know, do these two sides have differing agendas? And I don't think there's any doubt about that,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, the Chiefs are in this for the short term and Eric Berry's in it for the long term. I mean, he's got to live the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And he's got to be able to, you know, be comfortable and walk and all of these things. So he's going to be doing what's probably in his best interest for his long-term health. And the Chiefs are trying to get through this season. They're trying to win this season. And that's just the nature of sports. It's just the nature of the business. That's how it works out.
Okay, so this might be my last question on this front, because I think everything you said there is accurate, but throws another question out there, and every answer is going to breed another question. But if Eric Berry is out here looking for the best thing for his long-term health, it feels like the best thing for team be damned, the best thing for his long-term health would have been to get the surgery as soon as they realized what it was. So I've also heard lots of people mention he wants to play in an Atlanta Super Bowl, which I understand, but like, is the actual best thing for Eric Berry long-term health and playing in Atlanta for a Super Bowl in his hometown? Is there, like, am I missing something? Does that add more questions to the plate?
No, I don't think you're necessarily missing something, but I think it was a question that was presented in all likelihood in August based on what we know about the medical situation. You can have a surgery, but it's almost guaranteed that if you have the surgery in August, your season is over,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lengthy recovery to make sure you're back for the following season.
Yeah.
We try to treat this with orthotics. We try to treat it with exercises. We try to do it with rehab, and we get you back in 8 to 12 weeks, and then maybe we look at surgery in the off season. And it seems most likely that that was obviously the scenario that they were hoping for. It just didn't. Mm-hmm. It did not pan out the way they hoped.
And if he plays really well in two games, being an AFC Championship game and a Super Bowl, and if he's back in time for week one of the season next year, there's some, like, that's not terribly likely from what I can tell timeline-wise and looking at the recovery timeline for John Wall and everything. But, like, if that happens, then literally all of this went, like, perfectly. You know, in retrospect, if he's back, if the offseason is enough time to rehab it and he plays well in the two most important games of his life, then all of this drama is justified. I don't know what that looks like. So, all of that being said, the fact that he was a full participant in practice, do you even dare venture a guess at the chances that he plays on Sunday?
I think they're significantly higher. I would almost say that if he practices tomorrow, I'd probably put it down as a mortal lock that he plays.
Yeah.
Because let's break it up what full participant means. Full participation means, you know, he was active as defined by his role. Mm-hmm. So they're telling us he was a full participant. That means he took all the first team reps and wasn't rotating out. If he was rotating out and taking time off during practice, then he would be required to be labeled as a limited participant. So, you know, by calling him full, that tells you that he was integral as part of the first team defense operations today, and he's part of the game plan. Mm-hmm. If he's not going to play on Sunday, you want to get somebody else ready. I mean, and that's why I think it lends credence to why they shut him down last week. If there's a question about whether or not he could play against the Colts, you got to get Jordan Lucas ready. He's the guy that needs to get the reps, because you've got to get that first team defense ready. And so if he's the one that's taking all the reps, they're putting a lot of eggs in that basket that he's going to be the guy starting.
And so with that in mind, I look at both Barry and the limited return of Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and I wonder what the pros and cons lists of those guys look like right now. LDT's brought back, limited Tuesday. Barry's here, full participant Tuesday. You see those starts, but also Jordan Lucas played very well against the Colts, and Andrew Wiley's played very well, like, this whole season, but obviously Barry is a good deal better than Jordan Lucas, and LDT is at least better than Andrew Wiley. What do you make of those situations in that regard, maybe especially now on the LDT side?
Yeah, the LDT side seems like it could go either way. Reed did say that he would be rotating in with the first team today, and the limited participation would jive with that. That's what they would have done. I think you're almost at a position with LDT where you're good either way. I mean, you don't really have a problem with Andrew Wiley's play. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the offensive line played really well last week. The Chiefs like to think of themselves as a fairly efficient plug-and-play group. So, and that group has played together enough that you would think that Larry could go in there at right guard on Sunday and they wouldn't necessarily miss a beat. It's just, mm-hmm. Even though he hasn't played since week six. But it is still a disruption. I mean, it really
right.
is. And so, you've got to have that consideration. I'm guessing he's going to start, but I don't think we'll have a real good grasp of that for at least the next day or two.
Okay, so let's go ahead and look ahead now to the matchup. The Chiefs hosting the plucky little underdog New England Patriots. It's really nice to see a team like New England finally make it to an AFC Championship game. I love the rallying cry of bet against us, because really everyone always does with the Patriots. It's really a beautiful story. First of all, let's start there. Can you sort of attest to just how hard it's been in New England and what a real triumph it is for these plucky little underdogs to make it to an AFC Championship game?
Well, when you're going up against a prohibitive 3-point favorite like the Chiefs are,
of course,
you've got to be the plucky little underdog, right? Josh, do you realize how long it's been since the Patriots have won a title? It's been almost 12 months, man.
Yeah, it's been almost a full calendar year since their last Super Bowl
appearance.
That is a
starved fan base.
It really is. There are babies. There are babies that have been born in New England that haven't known the Patriots as AFC champions. Now, those babies aren't yet a year old, but those babies exist.
Exactly. And, you couldn't say that a year ago.
No, you're absolutely right. Oh, it's just excellent.
Yeah, is there anything more ludicrous than that? There's not.
There's really not.
I mean, that's like LeBron coming out and, complaining about being, the underdog. And
right. At least LeBron's on a bad team now. Like, at least, like, there's something. There's nothing for the Patriots. Oh, it's just, it's excellent. But the Chiefs are legitimately favored. Like, they're, you know, 3 points just means you're playing at home. If this game was in New England, it'd be at least 3 on a neutral side. It'd be a pick 'em as far as Vegas's usual rules go. But do you think that the Chiefs are a rightful 3-point favorite?
I think they are. I mean, I think that's the conclusion that you could certainly draw from that game in New England. Yeah, lose at New England by 3. Mm-hmm. It makes sense that you're a 3-point favorite on your home field. I think it makes sense when you look at the standings and you look at how the season unfolded. If anything, I mean, yeah, there might be something to the fact that maybe the Chiefs should be a bigger favorite considering how poorly the Patriots have played on the road and how well the Chiefs have played at home. But no, I mean, I think that's a good number. I mean, I really think it is.
What do you make of the Patriots being a sub-500 team on the road this year? That's not against Murderer's Row of – it's not that they went up against a bunch of brutal opponents there. Like, those are their losses to the – I'm going off the top of my head, but I think I'm going to get them all. The Jags, the Titans, the Lions, the Dolphins, and – oh, I did miss somebody.
Lions,
I don't know, five
Jags,
losses.
Dolphins, and Steelers.
The Steelers on the road. You're right, because that game was a nice 10 points put up by the Patriots. What do you make of that split for this team?
Well, I mean, so a lot of it has to do with the defense. I mean, they gave up a lot of points on the road. I don't think that the Patriots' defense is as good as it has been in past years, evidenced by the fact that even at home they gave up 40 points to the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not many. Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs will go to Los Angeles and put up, you know, 51 points. But, you know, putting up 40 points on the road is a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, even as good as the Chiefs are, I mean, giving up 40 points on your home field when you're defending Super Bowl champs, not good.
Yep.
So, to me, I mean, that's a big part of it. I mean, they are really a rough road defense. And offensively, they've had some problems, too. I mean, they've had some really, you know, stinky performances at times offensively. All in all, I mean, this is just not the dominant Patriots team of the past. It's not. And if you look at it, just almost the bigger arc, you know, they've had some decent, you know, they had some really good road records the last few seasons. Mm-hmm. But then again, they play in a crummy division.
Yep.
So they've got some gimme wins there on the road every year. Yep. But you look at the big long view historically in the playoffs, they've been a 500 team for the most part, but that's because they've been on a losing streak. They won a road game on the road, what, since 2007?
Yeah.
You know, they're a great team. But you can be a great team when you play in a crummy division and you never have to leave your home stadium in January. That helps an awful lot.
Yes, 100%. And so now we've got, like, some of the big storylines there. There's also always, like, Chiefs offense must be good. Mahomes needs to throw touchdowns, not interceptions. But whenever you look at some of the matchups, there's been some really interesting stuff out the last couple of days about personnel groups. You can look at how the Patriots offense tends to run, how Brady is incredibly efficient in the short-range stuff, but he doesn't have the deep ball like he used to, which is, you know, not, I guess maybe not saying that much, but his deep ball hasn't been very effective. You see him miss those throws downfield more often. The Patriots don't have a downfield threat that way. The Chiefs defense was great against the Colts. Like, there obviously there is a ton to unpack here, but what are a couple of those sort of specific matchups that you look at and say, oh, this is a factor that is going to ultimately be a determining factor in this game outside of Mahomes needs to be good?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this game is probably going to be determined by the weaknesses of these two teams more than necessarily the strengths. Because we know that Mahomes and Brady can go at it in a shootout. I mean, mm-hmm. they absolutely can. But is one of these two defenses going to step up? Is one of these secondaries going to step up? The Chiefs played, I think, one of their more, if not the most complete games against the Colts, considering the opponent, considering the situation. And the reason I say that is just because their defense has played so good, and the pass rush played well, and more specifically, the secondary played fantastic. That's where I think this game's going to be decided. I mean, if the Chiefs secondary plays as well as it did against the Colts, they're going to win this game. Mm-hmm. If the Patriots secondary plays as well, no, I think they have to play better than they played against the Chargers. I mean, they gave up something in the second half, and yeah, I guess it was garbage time and all. But they need that group needs to have its best performance too, because if you're giving up big plays to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, the Chiefs' offense is going to move. So I think that's where the game's going to be decided. It's really going to be the two defenses that determine who's going to win this game.
The Chiefs have, I would say, by far, the more talented pass rush, especially. The Patriots have Bill Belichick. How do you parse the advantage on those defenses' fronts?
Well, I think this might be one of the few times where the Chiefs go in where I think that defensively they've got the personnel advantage. I mean, the Chiefs are arguably probably a little top heavy, mm-hmm. in that they've got some really good guys, you know, at the top of the defense, and maybe they drop off pretty fast. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, the Chiefs' pass rush is superior. And we didn't necessarily see a lot of that against the Patriots the last time because Justin Houston wasn't in there.
Yep.
It was really at the beginning of Chris Jones' streak, but you know, he had a sack in that game. I think Breland Speaks and Reggie Ragland, you know, had like half a sack in that game too. Mm-hmm. But D Ford, I think, was kind of quiet. You know, if the Chiefs can get that pass rush going, and if Justin Houston's a factor, which he wasn't last time, this could be a really, I mean, that's where it could be decided. I mean, as much as I praise the Chiefs secondary for how they played against the Colts, big reason why they played so well is because the defensive line, the front seven of the Chiefs, just put pressure on Andrew Luck all day long.
Yes.
Even if they weren't getting to him, they were there in the neighborhood. They were getting hands up. They were making him feel uncomfortable. And that's what they like to do. They like to pester the quarterback. That's their goal in every game is, even if they're not getting sacked and getting hits, they just want the quarterback to feel uncomfortable. And they did that against Andrew Luck. Doing that against Tom Brady is really, really hard.
Mm-hmm. If all you saw, though, was that game against the Colts, I think the answer to this question would be an unequivocal yes. But we've seen a much larger sample size from this team. Now, again, the specifics of seeing them with all three of these pass rushers healthy very much matters. But I will ask you anyway, do they get to Tom Brady, in your opinion? Or at least what are the odds?
You know, I think they do. I mean, maybe that's just influenced by the fact that I think the Chiefs are going to win this game pretty comfortably, but I think they are comfortably. I mean, I think if you're a Chiefs fan, the most karmic thing possible would be that this game plays out like the last time the Chiefs were in the AFC Championship game, which is, you know, they go on the road and Joe Montana gets just bludgeoned by Bruce Smith and Bills and everybody on that team. And, you know, ends the game staring off into space. I think that's what you're hoping that happens to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, you're hoping that this is a three-score game at the end and Tom Brady's out of there and the Chiefs have thoroughly dominated that game. But can you do that? It's going to be tough, but is it one of the possible outcomes? Yeah, I think it is.
But there are lots of possible outcomes. You've been and are being very diplomatic. But, like, walk us through then the visual, the timeline of a three-score victory for the Chiefs. By the way, I'm going to be more your ally on this than playing devil's advocate here in a second. But, like, what does a three-score victory play out like for the Chiefs? Is it just Mahomes, 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 and Andy Reid, Mahomes, Mahomes, and Andy Reid, Mahomes, Mahomes, pass rush? Like, is that what that – walk me through that. What are you looking for there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Chiefs obviously score in their first couple of drives. So, you know, it's like a 14-3 game at some point in the first quarter, early in the second. The pass rush is getting through Brady, so they've got three or four sacks. They've knocked down a few passes. They've hit him a few times. Maybe there's a turnover or two. Certainly, hey, D4 gets a strip sack, that kind of thing. But, you know, the Chiefs don't turn the ball over. They just they build a big lead. They're up maybe 27-10 at halftime and just hold on and maintain that the rest of the way and try to run out the clock. You know, the Patriots try to get Sony Michel and White involved, James White involved, but the Chiefs clamp it down. They're aggressive. The defense plays with the same fury and speed that they played against the Colts, and this thing is never a contest.
I've been saying, I think I first tweeted Chiefs 34, Patriots 24, like in the third quarter of the Colts game. I felt like I was going to be pretty much on the front line of this, like, the Patriots are bad on the road and the Chiefs are good at home and this team is actually better. I thought I was going to be out here on that, and you are making me feel inadequate right now, Matt, which is really not rare. Matt Derrick making me feel inadequate. I'm well versed in that feeling. I wish you would dial it back a little, Matt. But like that's a lot. There's a lot there, Matt. I'm a little bit bothered by this.
Hey, we have really switched positions, haven't we?
Yes, we really have.
Yeah, I tell you what. I mean, I think at times I have underestimated the Chiefs, and I felt like I certainly did it going into the Colts game, because I thought that thing was going to be a shootout. I thought it was going to be something like 38-35, that kind of ballpark.
Yeah.
And now, you know, looking at, you know, the trends and looking at what this team is doing and where they're at, I think it's, you know, they're not giving up points at home. I mean, I've been going with a 42-24 Chiefs win, and maybe that's a little high because the Chiefs haven't been giving up 24 points. I mean, more likely, I think that they give up 17.
Right.
So maybe they don't hit 42, but no, I mean, something about this matchup, something about the way that this team's playing and its confidence level, it does make me think that they're just in a position to absolutely roll in this game.
I kind of agree with you, and somewhere in there, I'm still just going like, oh, God, it's Tom Brady. Like, this definitely can't go as well as possible. Like, something here is going to break bad. If you're going to take the other side of that, if I say, hey, tell me that something is going to go wrong here, what's the thing that you would be most worried about knocking your prediction off?
I think the most likely thing would be that the defense doesn't show up, that Brady just absolutely rips them apart. They run up and down the field. I'm not too concerned with the Chiefs not scoring because they do. I mean, it's Mahomes, after all. So I think the fear is just that you end up in another shootout. And if that's the case, Tom Brady wins those. And if this ends up, you know, being that kind of game and it goes down to the end and it's in the 30s or 40s, yeah, I mean, the Patriots probably pull that out because that's what they do.
But it's also what Mahomes does, so maybe that's not even what they do. Patriots by a billion. Thank you, Matt. We'll talk to you again very soon. I guess I'll bump into you in the mean streets of Atlanta or something. My goodness, I am breathless right now. It's Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com. Also wrote the book on Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes Showtime. You can get it online. All the info is at his Twitter account, at Matt Derrick. We now know, again, that conversation was last night with him, so we now know Eric Berry, a full participant 2 days in a row, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, a full participant today. The Chiefs are going to win this game. This is probably, not how this usually goes, but I felt pretty good as of last week. I think I'm feeling better as every day goes by. I just am pretty, I'm pretty confident here that the Chiefs are going to win this game. There's no chance the Patriots win, but I'm not as confident as I was, you know, week 17 against the Raiders, but as confident as I can be against a team that usually wins in these scenarios, I just think the Chiefs are better. I really do. At most positions, or at least those matchups really check out. And I think that optimism on that level is very well deserved. I don't know. I asked Matt to explain if it falls apart, how. I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess if the whole defense doesn't show, then of course the Chiefs are going to almost certainly lose that game. But maybe someone underperforms. But it sounds like Barry's going to be back. I'm betting on it. This is the best this secondary has looked all year. It's not even close. The pass rush is at its all-time peak. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. I'm starting to wonder if 10 wasn't enough points. We'll talk more about the specifics of the matchups with our friend Grant Tuttle of Arrowhead Addicts. Always looking at the Chiefs' upcoming opponent. We know this one very, very well. We'll ask him to give us a little peek into some of the smaller and more important matchups. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.